here. Oh, it's good to sing praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. His resurrection was the most powerful event this world has ever known. And we've been made a part of it. You see a miracle standing before you today. It was my sin that held him there. But his wounds have paid my ransom. Praise God. Please take your Bibles. And we're going to turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7. We've been doing a series in the book of Romans called Truth in a Nutshell. Paul summarizes perhaps the whole of Scripture right here in the book of Romans as he wrote to that church in the city of Rome. The title of this morning's message is second part of a two-part message. On Friday morning we looked at dead to the law. This morning we look at that wonderful truth, alive in Christ. Because he lives, I live also. Let's ask God's help. Oh Lord, we pray that as we look into your word today, it would be fresh, that this would be no routine of religion, but we would see, dear Heavenly Father, that not only did Jesus Christ rise from the dead, but that has direct impact on my life. Thank you for those that you have brought today, and we pray that only as your Spirit can, he would speak to each one in the way that they need. Illumine your word to us by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Robbie was proving to be a huge discipline problem for Karen. Karen was a vacation Bible school worker, and Robbie was causing problems in just about every class. He would get up on top of the desk. He would use foul language. He took things, and he swore loudly. He shoved other kids. He disrupted the classes. So Karen decided it was time for a little talk. When the other kids went for a snack break, she kept him back. And she said, "Don't you know, Robbie, that Jesus Christ could help you with all that bad language if you only trusted him as your Savior?" And he said, "I have trusted him as my Savior and I wish I hadn't." She said, "Why? Why wouldn't you want to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And he said, "Because it's like a war going on inside." Because it's like a war going on inside. Sure, despite his disadvantaged background, Robbie has much in common with us. Robbie had stumbled on the truth of Romans chapter 7. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Friends, we need to realize, don't we, that there is a war going on inside our souls. We need to realize that not just every day, but the whole Christian life is a battle. But we really need to see today that the battle has been won in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and therefore, in my life, it's a winnable war for me. Victory in the Christian life is based on the death and resurrection of Christ, and no one can take that away. In Romans, we have seen that we are saved by grace alone. That's Romans chapters 4 and 5, saved by grace. And then two common responses to this teaching that we are saved by grace is in Romans chapter 6 and in Romans chapter 7. First of all, in Romans chapter 6, Paul answers the response, "If I've been saved by grace, well, then I can just live how I like." And Paul says, no way, we cannot live how we like. To continue to sin is to turn our backs on grace. He says no. First of all, he says no. We were dead to sin. Now we have been raised to live with Jesus Christ. And he said once we were in bondage to sin, but now we have been set free to walk with him and to live with him. Grace saves from the penalty of sin, and grace saves from the power of sin. Know the truth of the resurrection and emancipations, Romans 6 says, then yield yourself to righteousness. That's Romans 6. In Romans 7, Paul answers this response. Yes, we are saved by grace, but then we have to live according to the law. Paul once again says, no, no way. You cannot live by the law. The law is good, sure, in that it shows what is right and what is wrong, but the law gives no power to overcome sin. It only condemns when we do wrong. Doesn't matter if we are saved or unsaved. We cannot live life in duty to the law. All we will find is condemnation. Or if we seek victory, to put the truth of Romans 7 in a different way, if we seek to have victory in the Christian life in our own strength, we will find that that power is not there. We fail. It is not in us. So then, in Romans 6, we learnt to hate sin and to love righteousness. In Romans 7, we are being taught that we cannot hate sin and love righteousness in our own strength as dutiful lawkeepers. So Romans 6 and 7 is a great help to us sin addicts, us slaves to sin. Hate sin, love righteousness, and don't seek victory in our own strength. Why? Because now in Christ we are alive to Him. We have a new relationship with Christ. His victory can be our victory if we only abide in Christ. Okay, let me take a different tack and explain Romans chapters 4 through 7 with different words. Romans chapters 4 to 5 explains salvation, how a person can have a relationship with Christ. Romans 6 and 7 describes sanctification, how we are changed to be like Christ. Or to put that another way again, Romans 4 and 5 describes how the penalty of sin has been overcome, and Romans 6 to 7 describes how the power of sin has been overcome. The power of sin is gone, and we can grow to be like Christ because of new life, new liberty, and new relationship. New life, that's the first half of Romans 6, new liberty, the second half of Romans 6, and new relationship is Romans 7. We looked at dead to the law on Friday morning. Now we look at alive to Christ. We are married to Christ. We His church are married to Christ. Or to put that another way, we have a new relationship with Christ that guarantees victory. But that new relationship with Christ also means war. Like Robbie, there is a war going on inside of us. Romans 6 says, know you have the victory and yield to righteousness. Romans 7 says, yes, but it's not that easy. We have this thing called the flesh. Well, it's not that easy, but then again, yes, it is, if we abide. So this morning, as we seek sanctification, as we seek to be changed to be like Christ, we look at three results of Christ's resurrection. These are personal implications of the resurrection of Christ for us. The first personal implication of the resurrection of Christ mentioned in Romans is a new relationship. A new relationship which means new power. A new relationship that we have as Christians, the new relationship is explained in Romans chapter 7 and verses 1 through 4. It says, or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, or through the death of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Once God's people had theological sense, a marriage relationship with the law. But if a man be in Christ, that marriage relationship with the law is dead and gone. We do not have that same relationship with the law that the people, God's people of the Old Testament had. When Christ died, we died. We Christians died, releasing us from that marriage relationship with the law. When Christ rose from the dead, we also rose from the dead, freeing us to be able to have a relationship, a living relationship with the living Christ. Verse 4 says again, therefore, my brethren, You also have become dead to the law through the death of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Because he was raised from the dead, we are raised from the dead, and we not only have new life in Christ, but we have a new relationship with Christ, so that we can bear fruit to God. With only the law, we had a powerless husband. But now that we are married to Christ, we have a powerful husband, a totally new relationship. We have his resurrection power available to us to live the Christian life. The purpose of the new relationship is, according to verse 4, that we might bear fruit, spiritual fruit for the Lord. The purpose is to bear fruit, and being united with Christ, we now have the ability to be able to bear that fruit. When we depend on self, when we depend on duty to the law, mere duty to the law, we fail. Verse 5 says, "For when we were in the flesh, when we were unsaved, the sinful passions which were aroused or identified by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death." Now, depending on Christ and his resurrection power, we can bear fruit. John 15 and verse 5, if you want to be following along on your sheets today. John 15 and verse 5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." If we abide, we'll bear much fruit, that verse says. In addition, verse 6 of Romans 7 says, "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to that which we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Oldness of the letter was duty and self. Newness of the Spirit is by the power of the Spirit of God, who both gives the inner desire to live righteously and then gives the power to live righteously, to will and to do of his good pleasure, the book of Philippians says. Now this desire that the Spirit of God gives is a desire greater than the most dutiful of legalists, for serve in this verse, "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve." The word "serve" there is from the word doulos, the bondslave. So we, like the bondslave of the Old Testament, we Christians have put our ear to the door. The awl has been passed through our ear, and we have said, out of love we will serve this master. All the days of our life we will serve because we want to. We love God's law, and we love to keep his law. His commandments are not grievous to us because the Spirit of God gives that desire to live for him. That's resurrection power operating through our relationship with Christ. New relationship means new power. Imagine you're in Afghanistan fighting for Australia. Tomorrow, you will be engaging the enemy, and the captain is laying out the battle plan for the next day. You look across the room, and one of your mates is nodding off to sleep. You shake your head. This is not a time to go to sleep. Sure enough, at the end of the next day, you hear he was ambushed and shot. How tragic. How very tragic. Brother and sisters, can I say to you this morning, do not drop off to sleep. What we are saying today is the way of victory. It is the strategy. If you have ever battled the world and the flesh and the devil, you know that we need this morning. You know that you need to listen. If you just don't see the importance of this, tomorrow they will get you. The world will get you. The flesh will get you. The devil will get you. The strategy that we have taught is hate sin, love righteousness, and depend on your new relationship with Christ. The result is that you will bear fruit to God. Think of the fruit of the Spirit. Hate sin, love righteousness, abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might bear the fruit of the Spirit. The lust that has been in your heart until now will be replaced by love. You hate the lust. You love what is right. You abide in Christ, and love will replace lust. The artificial highs that you seek right now from parties and things and alcohol and drugs and the entertainments of this world, the excitement will be replaced by joy from His Holy Spirit. You hate the artificial highs. You love the joy that His Spirit gives, and you abide in Christ that you might have it. The indifference, it's a counterfeit piece. Oh, that's cool, man. This world says that's cool, but it's an indifference. It is not the true peace that Jesus Christ gives. You hate the indifference. You love the reality of peace, and you abide in Him so that His Spirit might produce that peace in your heart. The importance, the impatience of the now society is going to be replaced by long suffering. As you hate impatience, you love long suffering, and you abide in Him. The self-centeredness of the flesh will be replaced by kindness and goodness and faithfulness. The harshness of the world will be replaced by the gentleness of Christ. And the irresponsibility of life will be replaced by self-control. The love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, evident in your life will show that you are hating wickedness, that you're loving righteousness, and that you're abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. Resurrection means new relationship, and that means new power to live godly, fruitful. The second personal implication of the resurrection of Christ mentioned in Romans is new power. New power, which means new war. Like Robbie, we quickly find that the new power only brings new warfare. The whole of Romans 7 can be summarized by just one verse from the book of Galatians, Galatians 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. That, friends, is new warfare. You didn't have that as an unsaved person. It is new warfare. When the flesh is unopposed, there is no war going on. But when we have a new relationship with Christ, the Spirit of God comes in, and now everything that the flesh seeks to do is opposed by the Spirit of God. So there is this battle going on. Little Robbie recognized it, and we can recognize it too. Chapter 7 and verse 15 says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do." And verse 17 says it this way, "But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin, the sin nature or the flesh that dwells within me." Verse 18 explains, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find." So whether we choose to hate wickedness or whether we choose to love righteousness, there is the same war going on inside us. Verse 19 says, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, and the evil I will not to do, that I practice." And again, verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin," that's the flesh, "which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" That is, who will deliver me from the flesh? How am I going to have victory in this war? The law can't deliver me. My own efforts can't deliver me. Romans 6 makes it sound like victory over sin is easy. Understand that you have new life and new liberty, Romans 6 says, and then yield your life to righteousness. That's it. But Romans 7 says there's a reality of warfare going on in our souls right here. We do have a new relationship with Christ by His Spirit, and we do have new power that the Holy Spirit brings, the resurrection power which we're remembering today of Jesus Christ. But that show of force only starts the war. A bit like the Hell's Angels on the Gold Coast just a couple of weeks ago. There was an enormous show of force from the Hell's Angels. Hundreds of bikies descended on the Gold Coast, apparently enemy territory as far as bikie gangs go, because that part of Australia is held by the Finks. A pretty impressive show of force. Police responded with an extraordinary show of force. 20 police cars, dozens of officers, and even an armoured personnel carrier they brought in for this war that was about to start. Well, the expected war did not happen. But in the case of flesh and spirit, there is no rest. The war is a daily matter for the Christian. The show of force starts the war. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means new relationship. It means new power, but it also means a new war. And the war has to be taken most seriously. Little Robbie didn't like the war going on inside him. Nor did the American Indian. I think I've told you the story about the American Indian before. A missionary asked a new Indian Christian, "How are you doing?" And he said, "Well, it's like a dog fight going on inside me. There's a white dog and there's a black dog." And the missionary asked, "Which dog wins?" And he said, "The dog that I feed the most." The dog that I feed the most. Intuitively, we understand that the white dog stands for the Holy Spirit and the black dog stands for the flesh. And the Indian said, "Well, the dog that I feed the most, that's the one that wins." So, dear brother and sister, do you feed the flesh or do you feed the spirit? Which dog are you feeding? The scripture? Christian books? A daily quiet time? Family devotions, hearing Bible preaching, listening to sermons on them, these feed the spirit. You know very well what feeds the flesh. And some of you don't want to hear it. Worldly entertainments, worldly music, worldly values, especially worldly entertainments and worldly music feed the flesh. Someone says, "Well, what is worldly entertainment and what is worldly music?" Again, I think that you know very well, but you don't like to hear what is worldly. You like what you like, and you don't want anyone telling you that you shouldn't watch it or listen to it. It's not that God wants to spoil our fun. God knows that the stuff of the world will spoil your relationship with Him. It's not that God wants to spoil your fun. It's that God has something better for you. Why would we want that stuff of the world in preference to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? You cannot love the world and love the Father at the same time. Why feed the flesh and lead the war? Why not feed the Spirit and enjoy the victory that is there in the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't say, "Oh, I know it's wrong. I know that the sex that is on TV is wrong. I know that the violence on those DVDs is wrong, but I'm not going to do it." If you are watching that stuff for fun, it will affect you. You say, "No, it won't." I say, don't be so naive. There is a war going on inside. Why fraternize with the enemy? Surely you see the foolishness of that. If you want victory in the Christian life, you'll set nothing wicked before your eyes. Psalm 101 and verse 3 says, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me." I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Would you say, "Yes, Lord," to that this morning? "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes." Yes, Lord. The third personal implication of the resurrection of Christ mentioned in Romans is new victory, which means new joy. The sequence is resurrection, new relationship, new power, new warfare, new victory, and then new joy. As the battle of flesh and spirit rages, Paul asks in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And now we consider the answer, verse 25. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." The new power provoked new warfare. But brother and sister, it's a winnable war. You see, the victory is already secured if we only hang on to the victory that Jesus Christ has given. Our victory rests squarely on the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The second part of verse 24 says, "Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Whatever I am battling, it is a winnable war. That's what we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday. Christ has conquered sin and death and hell. Therefore we read in chapter 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." He's made me free from the law of sin and death. I am dead to the law and I am alive to Christ. The Spirit gives this life and this power and this victory. Those in the Spirit will want to walk according to the Spirit, and they will be given victory in the Spirit. This victory is won in the battleground of the mind. Chapter 8 and verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. They fill their minds with worldly fleshy stuff. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." What you fill your mind with will determine whether you can enjoy the victory that is available in Christ, His resurrection victory. Because of our assured victory as we walk with Christ, Paul says with joy in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. New victory will certainly bring new joy. I was watching a little video clip, a Christian video clip during the week, and it told the story of a 13-year-old girl who came to faith in Christ. She trusted Christ as her Savior. But at 17 years of age, despite her prayer, her family broke up. Her dad was an alcoholic and certainly unsaved. And that young lady, at 17 years of age, when the family broke up, decided that she would go with her father because she wanted to win him to the Lord. Well, she gently, persistently kept at him until one Resurrection Sunday, he came with her to church. And there, I have no doubt that he would have heard some message on the resurrection of Christ or the victory of the Christian life. But when he was giving testimony, he didn't mention any of that. When they came to the invitation hymn, they sang, "I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." He was undone. He turned from his life of sin and he turned to Jesus Christ. He told the story with tears how he couldn't understand how Christ would want him, a nobody, and that Christ had died for him and he'd been saved by the Lord. He was so humble and so thankful and so full of joy. Of course, that's the victory that Jesus Christ gives. I've been pretty transparent about the Christian life today. I've told you that in becoming a Christian, you come into a love relationship with Jesus Christ, certainly closer and better than the best of marriages, an intimate love relationship with Jesus Christ. I have told you that this new relationship brings power, and that power starts a war, an inner war, no dodging it. The Christian life is not just fire insurance against the fires of hell. It is that God will save us from his wrath for eternity, those who have trusted him. He will certainly do that. But the Christian life is not just fire insurance. The Christian life is indeed a daily battle against the forces of hell itself. And I have also told you thirdly that warfare is entirely winnable, guaranteed. And when we win, that gives a joy that cannot be described, full of the glory of God. Praise God. So I leave two challenges with you this morning. Two challenges. Number one, if you are aware that you don't have that love relationship with Jesus Christ, may I ask you today, what is stopping you If that crusty old alcoholic could go to church on Resurrection Sunday and be saved by the Spirit of God, what is stopping you from coming to Christ and having that relationship with Him? Second challenge. If you know Christ, will you once and for all turn your back on the world? Have nothing any more to do with it. Stop feeding the flesh. Will you choose to be alive in Christ, living for Christ, demonstrating Christ's resurrection power in your life? People would see the fruit of the Spirit in your life, the impact of the Spirit of God. It's not human effort. It's all about Him getting saved and following Him. You know, Jesus Christ made it so simple. He basically gave two commands. One, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. Come. And the other basic command was follow. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come. Follow. That's it. That's the whole Christian life. Come, follow. Will you come? Will you come to Him today? If you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, will you come to Him today? If you've been wandering, you know the Lord, but you've been wandering, would you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you today. Nothing held back. Won't you pray to receive Christ or to go on for Christ? That is what Christ's death and resurrection is all about. That we can have that ongoing relationship with Him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in what way have you worked today? I cannot tell as I look out on amongst these people exactly what you have done in each heart. I do not know if there's anyone here today who doesn't know you as their Savior. I don't know how you've been speaking to them, but you do, Lord. And I pray that right now, if you have been drawing any person to yourself, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would draw them all the way. I pray that they would come. I pray that they would come and find rest. And Lord, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters who've been wandering. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that they would decide, oh yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you with all of my heart. I'm not going to look back at the world anymore. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. Oh, Lord, would you work right now? As we sing this closing hymn, I pray that you would draw some to come. I pray that you would draw some to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.